parsha that introduces us to the incredible generosity of Klal Yisrael that has been legendary. You know, there's an expression in the English language, as cold as charity. There's an expression in the English language, as cold as charity. In other words, if you want to express something that really being with against one's will, yeah, that is what one's charity, right? You know, in fact, after the Second World War, they made a penny chain. They wanted to rebuild Westminster Abbey. Westminster Abbey is the Via Vos Atuma in England. It's the most, well, all the king, they get married, the royal family gets married, and it was damaged by bombing. And it was damaged by bombing. What's that? Married, yeah, they get married there. Buried there too, yeah. Anyway, so Prince George, the king at the time, and then there was involved. He was the patron of collecting money, and they didn't make enough money in order to repair the damage, which wasn't a lot of money. That same year, Israel made a United UJA made an appeal, United Jewish Appeal made an appeal for Israel. Something like 12 or 15 times more than England made when the king was the patron of it, and they were talking about that England then wasn't just England; it was a Commonwealth, it was an empire, right? So this, and as cold as charity, is an expression, Baruch Hashem, that absolutely is totally foreign in the very fabric of Jewish giving, and that starts in the sixth parasha. The parasha begins: Dabra bnei Yisrael v'ikhli truma me'es kol ish ashid ben liba tikhres trumasi. What truma should you take? What kind of giving should you take? Kol ish ashid ven liboy.
What are you reading?
Perik chof hei posuk aleph and base.
Okay.
Yeah, take truma me'es kol ish ashid ven liboy. That the person wants to give, tikhu es trumasi. So it's a very, very interesting vault that Mefarshim bring down, that the yikhuli truma eskalish ashe dvena liboy tikhu es trumasi is brought down, I'm not sure from who, but certainly from Sifrei Kabbalah, maybe from the Arizal, that perhaps if a person wanted, he felt inclined to give an amount of money because he was pressured to give it. Yeah, there was social pressure, there was family pressure, there was the Gabba pressured him a bit too much, right? And that's why he gave it. So let's say he gave a kilo of gold, but he only really wanted to give 200 gram of gold. That's one case. Another case, we have somebody who didn't have that much gold. He only had 200 gram, but he really wanted to give a kilo. So the Pasuk says, "V'yikholi truma, take from me truma." How did a truma work? Me'ez kol ish asheh itven liboy. Exactly how much each person really wanted to give, tikhu es trumasi, that's how actually turned into the truma. In other words, a person who wanted to give a kilo and it only could afford 200, it turned into a kilo, and the person who wanted to give 200 and he actually had to force to give a kilo, only turned into 200, right? Tikhu es trumasi, work according to the divina libo. The divina libo was a currency of how it was paid. Okay. V'zoisa truma shetikhom. And then this, the Mefarshim explain, this is a very, very difficult part of the Torah. The Torah, as we know, is incredibly concise. And the Torah gives us a list of those things that we needed in order to build a Mishkan, right? So the Mefarshim asks, why do we need this list? And a long list. V'zoisa truma shetikhu me'itom. What's the list? Zov, kesef, nechoshes, gold, silver, copper, techeles, agomot, a whole long list of things. Simply see what is necessary in the building of the Mishkan and for the big day Kohuna, and we know that that wasn't donated. Why do we need this whole list of various different things that are donated? Why is that necessary for that shopping list? And even more than that, there's a very interesting diuk that Zois HaTruma Shetikhu Me'itom. This is a truma that you should take. What's a truma? The truma means if a person had money, he was a very, very wealthy man. He had plenty of money, but he didn't have any of those exact things that he needed for the Mishkan. He couldn't give anything. He couldn't give them a check. Yeah, there wasn't a transfer. There wasn't a crowdfunding event where everyone pays online. You had to take those things that you actually had and give it. You couldn't give anything else and buy something else with it. You couldn't do that. Yeah, normally they could do that, yeah, for sure. You take it and exchange it. Here you can't. Whatever you actually had, In your home, that is what you could give. You could be very wealthy and didn't have those things. You couldn't give anything. You couldn't go and buy from somewhere else. And stam, the whole thing is difficult to understand. You know, somebody, I collected for mikveh, right? When I started collecting for mikveh, nobody says, okay, here's a stone for the mikveh, or here's a bucket of water, yeah? When you collect for mikveh, get the money, and then go to a wholesaler, or go to a supplier, and then he delivers everything in one go, and then he can just check everything beautifully. And why get a little bit of gold here and a bit of copper there? It's very, very inefficient. Why did they do that? So the Mefarshim explain that Rabbeinu Shleilam, the last thing Rabbeinu Shleilam needs is gold and silver. The Rabbeinu Shleilam needs is copper and wool. Rabbeinu Shleilam created the world. Rabbeinu Shleilam has absolutely no need for anything Gashmi. The only thing Rabbeinu Shleilam wanted is Rachman the Liberboy. Rabbeinu Shleilam wanted our dedication. He wanted us to give to him because that is the way of expressing the our Avo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted the our Avo. How do we get an expression of Avo? By giving something that I feel is precious and I give it to the Rabbeinu Shleilam. To write a check is a very, very nice thing. But to actually take something that you have in your house, a silver kos that you got from your bar mitzvah, and you give that to the Mishkan, that is ahava, that is dedication. And therefore to go along and to buy something else that you've never actually owned, and to go and to buy some silver and give it to the Mishkan, Rabbeinu Shleilam doesn't want that. If you had silver and you're attached to that silver, take that silver and bring it to the Mishkan. If you're attached to that copper, bring it to the Mishkan. But it doesn't want a situation where you're buying something or exchanging something. That's not you. Rabbeinu Shalom wants you. Not only that, Rabbeinu Shalom wants you to do it in a way that is clearly because that is what you want to do, not what you're inclined to do. There's a very interesting, I saw this in a few different places, the Kerem Tzvi brings it down, and the Zayin HaTorah brings it down. He says, Zahov v'kesef unachoshes. He brings it over here from Rabbi Koin Ha'it Mari. I'm not sure what that is. I really don't know. He brings that, the Zayin HaTorah brings the same thing. He says that that Zov Nechesev Nechoshes is a remez to three different kinds of people. What Zov? Zov is Rosh HaTevus Ze Hanoisein Bori. A person is perfectly healthy and you ask him for money, no problem. Nobody's ill, nobody's suffering, no segulas. You're asking for money, mavakasha ze hanosen bori. Okay? Kesef is Rosh Tavis. Keshiroya sakona poiseach. Keshiroya sakona poiseach. He's got a big court case coming up soon. Yeah, his daughter needs a shidduch. There's something that's pressing. He's got his the masach nasa making a bedika, right? Yeah, kusheroye sakona pusayach. When he sees trouble looming, he opens up his hand. That's fine. Yeah, but that's not as good. And then you have somebody who doesn't give when he's healthy. He doesn't when he sees when he's getting old, he doesn't give. What is he? Nechoshes. What's Nechoshes Rosh HaTevus? Nechoshes is Rosh HaTevus. Nesinas Chole She'oime Tenu. Nesinas Chole She'oime Tenu. This guy is flat out in hospital. The doctor said he has no chance. Listen, can't take it with you. Might as well try my luck. Vakasha. So he gives Nechoshes. Yeah, he gives it. He gives nechoshes. Rabbeinu Shlom said, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Of course I want a person to give when the matzav of Zov, when they're not pressed. But even later on down the line, that if a person is pressed and a person feels they have to give, as long as it's given, because with a full heart, that I want this to go to the stock of Rabbeinu Shlom accepts that as well. The Zayin HaTorah points out that by the Nesina to the Mishkan, there was a Hov Nechesef and Nechoshes. Zov Kesev and Nechoshes. When it was Rachman al Itzlan in the Parashas time, called Parashas time, when you talk about the eagle is only done in Zov. There's no Kesev and Nechoshes there. Yeah. So he said that is very remez of what a Jew is all about. He says a Jew is happy to give Zov Kesev and Nechoshes. Happy to give at any stage of life. When he's healthy, he gives. And Rachmana Litzlan, the closer he gets to really understanding what life is all about and where he's going and who he is, he's more and more inclined to give. Yeah? Masha'en came by the Eagle. When did they give? They only gave Zov. They only gave when they were, everything was going well and they were all healthy. As soon as the pressure was put on them and they would realize what life is all about, and they would realize this din v'cheshbon, they would never have dreamt of giving to the Egel Azov. Only the matzav of Zov they're willing to give. A Jew, a lot of Yidden, unfortunately, they're willing to live a trey from the Laban, but they want to die as Jews. They want to die like a Jew. You know, so it was a bit of a it was a little bit a Pesach to these people that they only gave by the Egel Zov, not matzav of other things. But it's a very interesting medrash. The medrash brings down that Zahov Kesef and Achishes actually is referring to three different people. Zahov is referring to Avram Avinu. Bear with me a second. This is a medrash that Rav Shimon Shvar brings down. Shmois Rabbah, you want to look it up yourself in Parashat Memtes Beis. Zahov ze Avraham. Why? Shenivchan bekivshon ha'esh kezov. He was put inside a furnace. Like gold is put into a furnace, that's Avram Avinu. Kesef, Zu Yitzchok, Shenitzraf ke Kesef agabe mizbeach. That he was a mutsur, that he became, what's Nitzraf? Tzoref is a person who was.
I want to wear jewelry.
Tzoref is a person who. Yeah, but it's somebody who joins things together. Yeah, ke Kesef agabe mizbeach, like Kesef on mizbeach. What's that?
Joins.
Nochoshes is Yaakov. Yeah. Tzaref, yeah.
Tzaref is somebody who...
Who joins, who welds.
Who welds.
Yeah, yeah. Not well. I don't think of welding, it's more... joining, I've got the words in English. Okay. Nochoshes is Yaakov. Shnema, Nachashti vayevorcheni Hashem v'galecho. Who said that? That's referring to Lavon, who says, Nachashti, I've seen through my nichush. I saw through my koyach of magic, whatever it is, that Kodesh Baruch Hu blessed me because of you. So Nachashti goes to Yaakov Avinu. So he asks, it's very strange. Avram Avinu was compared to gold. Yitzchok is Kesef and Yaakov is Nachashes. We know that although it's Avram, Yitzchok and Yaakov, we know Yaakov was a Bechir HaOvis. Yaakov was the most chosen of the Ovis. Yaakov was the most prestigious of the Ovis. He combined the koichos of chesed and gvura of Avram and Yitzchak, and he created 12 shvatim and metosim shlema. They were perfect children. So why is it that Avram Avinu is compared to gold, where Yaakov Avinu is compared to copper? Yeah. Also, nachashti lekim megalalechol. That's nachoshes is going a bit far. Yeah, nachash and it's going a bit far. What's pshat? So Shimon Shvab explains very, very beautifully, and he says as follows: gold, silver and the chayshes all come from different sources. Gold is mined from the ground. Yeah, you take it out from the ground, mine it. You can find it in the ground, but it's identifiable. Remember the gold rush. There's gold dust. There's actually dust. There's real gold. There's gold in the earth. But it's as soon as you see it, you can see the gold. You just got to sieve it and get rid of the dirt, and you have the gold findings, right? So gold is clearly a real... It's identifiable, you can notice it immediately. That's gold. Avram Avinu was gold. Avram Avinu, as soon as he left the Kibshon HaEsh, everyone knew that Avram Avinu was outstanding. All the Malachim came to bow to him. All the Malachim wanted to make deals with him. Avram Avinu was the king immediately. Immediately he was recognized as being a revolutionary, and he was gold. Silver... Is not taken from the ground. You can't notice silver. Silver, correct me if I'm wrong, is taken from ions. In other words, you take other metals, and you take it out. Is it argentile metals? In other words, you take metals and minerals from the ground, and you refine it, and it's a byproduct of other metals. You mean to take it from other metals, and that's how you have silver. In other words, it's not clearly seen. You don't mine silver. You have other metals, and you take silver out of it. Yitzchok wasn't clearly seen as being the superstar. In fact, on the way to the Akedah, we didn't know who was that special. There's Yishmael, who was a Baal Tshuva Gemurah, yeah, who had Eliezer, who is Doilo Amashke, Mitalmit of Avram Avinu, and we had Yitzchok. And Avram Avinu turns around and says, "Do you see something?" To all of them, "Do you see something?" They didn't see something, and Yitzchok did. They said, "Yes, I see the Shekhinah." Ah! Yitzchok, you have now been identified as being something special. So Yitzchok was like silver, who was somebody who had to be drawn out from amongst others to be seen as great, but he himself, by himself, amongst his surroundings, didn't shine out by himself. Yaakov Avinu, even before he was born, he has struggle after struggle. He was pushed and he was shoved and he was pushed down. Yaakov Avinu had to run away. He wasn't Avram Avinu who was respected. He was stripped naked by his nephew. He was taken to Lavan and treated like a slave. Terrible, terrible, terrible life he had. Terrible life. Terrible life. He had to run from place to place and Esau tried to rip him off. Yaakov Avinu was Nochoshes. What's Nochoshes? Nochoshes is something which is a very, very dark, dull metal. The way you actually bring out its beauty is if you shine it, if you polish it, and then it looks absolutely beautiful. But otherwise, if you don't treat it well, you don't notice it bechlal. So Yaakov Avinu wasn't noticed bechlal, only after everything. Only after he'd been treated and gone through a life of suffering, a life of very, very difficult nisyonos, did he come out in a world appreciated when he came to Mitzrayim, ready, paro appreciated. And that's nochoshes. So really, the ideas over here, in this parasha over here, is trying to identify, not only about giving, about bringing out of who we are, our generosity of when we give, and who we are. Sometimes people are naturally shy, some people it takes time to bring them out, and some people their whole life they're working on themselves and then they shine beautifully. But my question is, still at the end of the day, Avram is gold and Yaakov is copper. It's not fair. Yaakov still is a Bechira Avos. In other words, even if you're comparing it to the metals, it doesn't seem to be fair. So what I like to say on Yestaiti is as follows, that this is exactly what the parasha is telling us. It's not about how much this is valued on a stock exchange. You're not working, on exchange when you sell gold and silver, commodities. This is not commodities. This is not going into the commodity market and working out the price of gold versus the price of copper. And yeah, of course gold is worth more. It's all about how much effort and how much work and how much a person goes through nisyonos and grows is what the parasha is talking about. Avram Avinu had nisyonos, but immediately he was recognized. Yaakov had no respect until all the way to the end of his life, had no respect, and he polished himself and he grew and he brought up a family. That a polished copper vessel, as far as Rabbeinu Shalom is concerned, is a Bechir HaOvos worth more than gold. It's worth more than gold, not on the commodity market, but for Rabbeinu Shalom it's worth more than gold. So the parasha is telling us that Enochanami, correct, gold is valued by the world more, but copper is worth more by the Rabbeinu Shalom. So that is Zov, Vechesef, Unachoshes. At the end of this list, it talks about gold, silver, copper. Now, what is Tcheles Argomon Vetelashoni? What is that? Tcheles Argomon Vetelashoni, what is that? Different products? There's gold, silver, copper. Tcheles Argomon Vetelashoni are all the same. What is it? All different color wool. So just say Tcheles Argomon and wool and Semer. What's Tcheles? Yeah. Sorry. Tcheles and wool. Yeah. Furthermore, it says V'sheish. What is Sheish? Sheish is a finished product linen. That is not what you're using. You weren't given Sheish is a finished product. What did he give? He gave flax. He didn't give linen. They never gave linen. But Izim, what's Izim? They gave goats. Think of goats. Yeah? They gave hair of goats. So the list is strange. It talks about different things, and it talks about Tcheles Argomon Tlashon. What's Pshat over here? So very, very bekitzah, I don't want to go into it, but Rav Shimon Schwab again says very beautifully. He says what people seem to mistake is there are two different elements of life. I read how he expresses it. He says, bear with me a second. Yeah. He says, there's chomer and it's tzura. There's substance and form. Chomer and tzura. Yeah. In other words, a red piece of wool, the chomer is its substance, is wool. But the tzura of what it turns out to is a red. Yeah? In other words, the Torah is not valuing the raw products. The Torah doesn't tell me wool, because wool is the chomer. Wool by itself is nothing. That's not what we need. And we don't need wool. We need wool, the substance of the byproduct of what eventually will be created. That is what's important to us. What is important to us is that we have colored wool. That is what's important. So too, the izim, the sheish. The fact that you give flax is not is not what we want. We wanted the finished form, what actually you worked on that linen, the flax, and it turned into linen. That is what ultimately is what's important. And izim is a different answer. Izim is that they worked on the izim itself. In other words, and that was what's important, to work on the izim itself. To work on the izim itself. Says Rav Shimon Schwab, what the Pasuk is telling me over here is, it's totally irrelevant how great the product is from the beginning, unless it is worked into its substance. Unless somebody works on who they are, if a person's brilliant, born brilliant, and he doesn't use his mind for something that is important, then he is absolutely completely worthless. On the other hand, a person who doesn't have such a great mind, and he works on what he needs to work on, and he comes out with, and he's built on the substance that he previously didn't have, that is valued by Kodesh Baruch Hu. And therefore, the different color wool, because the form, it was a different form that originally started from, that is what's valuable by Rabbeinu Shleilam. So what the parash is telling us? The parash is telling us various different things. The parash is telling us, number one, Zohar v'chesef v'necheshes, is the idea that when a Kodesh Baruch Hu wants something from us, it is not the value of how much it is, because otherwise I can write a check. It is about how much I'm willing to dedicate of myself, to sacrifice from myself in order to Rabbeinu Shleilam. That is what created the Mishkan. Zohar v'chesef v'necheshes also refers to different people in different stages of life. That some people on a stage of Zov, they're happy to give then. Some people are forced to give in more difficult situations. That is still appreciated, but you can't compare. It's still accepted by Rabbeinu Shleilam. Also, different kinds of people. You get people who are naturally great, the Zav. You get people who are not that noticeable, which are the Kesef. And you get people who work on them, and that Nechishes is the worth. And finally, as we've just said now, that the fact that Pasuk splits up Tchilas Gomer Tzlar Shoni V'Sheish V'Izim is to teach us that it's not what you start off with. It's what you end up with. What you've worked on yourself and brought yourself up to the levels of creating something from yourself ultimately is what the Kodesh Baruch Hu wants. And that's for Osili Mikdosh, Veshachanti B'Soichom, L'Nema, B'Soichom, B'Soichom, B'Soich Kol Echad Ve'Echad.